Last week, the elders got together. And we got together last week and we spent a day. It was last Saturday. And we just spent the day reviewing the last kind of what has happened in the last kind of 12 months. And then we spent the year, the rest of the day, looking towards this year and the future going forward. Under the topic of the day was, how do we build disciples who build disciples who build disciples? That is the cry of my heart. I spend so much time just pondering and thinking about this. How do I do it better? I look back to examples where I've done it dismally. And I think probably all of us, if we were honest, could put our hand up and say, there's been times where I haven't done it, or I haven't done it intentionally, or I haven't done it this way or that way. And so one thing I'm constantly looking at and asking God for great wisdom in is, how do we do it? How do we run great systems as a church? How do we get you guys equipped so you feel the confidence that you can actually do it? So I want to talk about that this morning with the panel. And so Matthew chapter 28 says, this is the last thing that Jesus said before he went into heaven. This is really important to note. He could have said all kinds of stuff, but this is what he chose as the last parting statement that he would make to the disciples before he floated up. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you forever, like to the end of age. It's pretty clear, eh? I think discipleship might mean something to Jesus. I think it might be important to him in the basis of that. So what I want to do is call a panel up, and we're just going to talk about their journeys and some kind of stuff with them. And as we're doing that, just have a think. None of us have it together. I don't have it together in this area. I'm just a piece of clay on the potter's wheel, and I'm trying to ask the potter to just shape me a little bit better and help me to be a better vessel than I was yesterday or last week. And so don't use this as an opportunity to get down on yourself. You always use Sundays and teaching sessions as an opportunity to, I'm going to take one thing and I'm going to just try and be a bit more effective for God in this area. So I'll call the panel up. So Gary and Neri, come on up. And since I noticed last week it was such a popular couple, I've invited Jared and Courtney to come up as well, since we have so much vested interest in them at the moment. Firstly, thank you for agreeing to be on the panel today. I know at times it can be, you know, a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, I mean, look at them. These are good-looking people. It's hard to sit in front of such good-looking, intelligent people and not feel a little bit freaked out. And how do I possibly sit in front of these good-looking people and not go googa the whole time? Because they are mighty good-looking. Best-looking church in the country, I reckon. Amen. Without a doubt. Amen. And with Life Church very close behind, of course. Life Church is my favourite last church I've ever belonged to. Yeah. Hey, so I want to really, just from the get-go, really just delve in so we get gold about this and don't spend a lot of time kind of just kind of waffling on for the sake of it. So how about you guys just zoom through and just tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you come to be in church, living for Jesus and following Jesus? And what do you do? Just so people that don't know you have a little snapshot as to who you are and how you fit in. So, Jared, you want to go first?
Hey, everyone. I'm Jared. I came to this church a long time ago with my family, Carol and Warren Coffey. Some of you may remember them. But my family came here, and then as sort of we moved away, they stopped coming, but I got my license and kept coming. It's quite funny, eh? Just like rebelling against the parents to go to church. It was quite pitiful. They were going to a church over there. I was really locked into the youth group here. That was a pretty core part of my faith development, was coming to youth group and having the people and the leaders investing in me. And because I spent the time in it sort of stuck, and then I developed my own faith because of that. And that led to me being here. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a builder. Does
that matter? Like the great master.
Courtney, I'm working at the church 3 days as the youth pastor, and then I also nanny for my sister 2 days. And my parents were pastors of a small community church in Pormuddy, and so I grew up there till I think I might have been 13, and then mum made the big decision of moving church, and so we came here because we had like Auntie Kerry and Uncle Pete and stuff like that. So faith for me was a little bit later on. I always knew God was real, but I didn't take God seriously probably till I was in my early 20s. And then this has always just been home church for me. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Neerali. I'm a teacher at the Teen Parent School just around the corner. I grew up in a family that went to a Methodist church in Christchurch, and it was a church that had a really big youth group. And so I went through my years of high school through with the youth group, gave my heart to the Lord at an Easter camp with other people, not our youth group, but some of them were there. But I was one of those people that I think was up at most of the altar calls after that, giving my heart to the Lord every time because I felt pretty useless at it.
Kia ora, my name's Gary. And also hello to people online too.
Yes.
I didn't come from a Christian family at all, and I was interested. I went along to a church in Christchurch, a Power Baptist, at the age of 17, and became a Christian at 18. And never been separated from a church at all since then. And as some of you know, I work for the Open Home Foundation, which is foster care and social work around the country. That's me.
It's awesome. One thing, I know I said I wanted to just delve straight in, but because of Open Homes, I want to give you a 20-second unashamed plug for Open Homes since you're here and we have this opportunity. So you feel free.
Thanks, Dean. I was actually going to try and weave it in somehow anyway. a lot of you would have been here about May last year when Leanne was up front, and she was a foster parent recruiter, still is a foster parent recruiter. So we are always looking for staff, social workers, but we're also always looking for foster parents. Because there is such a need out there for foster parents. We have Oranga Tamariki regularly coming to us asking for foster parents because they just don't have enough themselves. So if we can place vulnerable children and young people into Christian homes, that's terrific. So if you are interested, please drop me your phone number or contact Leanne at Open Home Foundation. That'd be great. Thank you.
Great. Awesome. Hey, so straight into first question. Was there a person or people in your life who have encouraged you in your journey, discipleship journey, and can you tell us about them, paint us a picture of what that looked like?
I'll start.
Cool.
Because mine's probably the lamest. I just, following on from what I said about not feeling good enough, I just remember going to a woman who wasn't even part of our church, but she and her husband were pastoring another church, going to her and chatting with her because I just felt like a useless Christian that wasn't doing any of the right things, I didn't feel like. Certainly I know that I had the outward appearance of stuff, but didn't feel like it was happening on the inside as much as it should be. And I expected to go away from that feeling, you know, with her saying, well, you know, you're useless and I don't love you. But I just remember coming away feeling absolutely loved, absolutely accepted, absolutely cared for, because she just took me as I am, as I was. And that's what I think is the basis of all that we need to do, is to accept people where they're at and love them and care for them and try to move them forward.
Awesome.
That's about all I've got prepared for this morning, Dean. That's it. Over to the rest of you.
We can stop right there, can't we? That was gold.
For me, I'll just go back to when I first became a Christian at 18. I had about two older youth, because I was really, I mean, this church, the whole church thing was really weird and so different from what, you know, I had lived. So I had two older youth, and over the next 5 to 6 years, I had also four church pastors or youth leaders who really embedded things into my life and spent a lot of time with me, and that really laid the foundation for me going forward.
That's awesome. Hey, just thinking back to your weird comment, what do you think some of the things when we're interacting with people that we can just keep in mind around that whole area that would be useful?
It's but coming into a church, it's a different. If you had none or very little church experience in your life, coming into a church is really like going into a foreign country. Everything is different.
Yeah, that's cool, Jared.
It's an ongoing thing, eh? You're constantly, I don't know, I think it's definitely about being humble and knowing that you can always learn something, kind of like what you said before, that, you know, like none of us have it together, but you should probably never think that you have it together. You can always learn something from someone. It just gives you that reference point as well, like a good reference point to sort of. But yeah, so I definitely had, I had some core people growing up. In youth group, Aaron McKevitt was a big one for me. He sort of took me through youth. Prior to that, I started youth group with Lily, and she invested a lot into a lot of us, you know. And I think, you know, you very much are like who you hang out with, you know the saying. And so if you analyse who you're hanging out with and who you're learning from, you definitely... Yeah, you can end up getting some real good stuff and putting into your life, you know. Yeah, and now in my modern years, I'm looking at Trevor, you know, he's helping me out heaps and stuff, and Viv. But I think it's just about, it's definitely about just who you hang out with and pursuing the right people.
That's one of the reasons why I chose you, because I know you're in an active, the nearest we probably get to a formal discipleship arrangement with meeting with Trevor on a weekly basis.
I wouldn't even say it is formal. It was probably more informal than that's how it came about. I mean, now it's just porridge and one day a week in the morning, you know? You know? Yeah. It's discipleship over porridge. It's great.
Is a porridge good? Do you make you make it, or does Viv make it? Viv makes it. I know it's out of this world.
You're still asleep.
Okay.
No, Trev makes a good porridge.
Good, good man.
My early years probably were my mum and my sisters. They probably discipled me the most. And then it's probably in the last 4 years been Dean and Jeanette. Dean has been like my mentor, my disciple, with youth group, and just we interned and stuff like that. And so Dean's really done it very practically, and like for a whole year he came to youth group the first year that I took on the youth pastoring position. He came every single Friday and then slowly like faded himself out at the end of the year, but he just was just a presence, a constant presence, and then also just always made time and still does to catch up and I ask questions and stuff and put situations out. And so for me it's very practical discipleship, and then also like Dean and Gina, as everybody knows, very welcoming and very like open door policy. And so a lot of times I'd just turn up with things at the house and asking questions and stuff like that, and they would always welcome me in. So yeah, definitely the last 4 years has been Dean and Gina, and then Jeanette is my like personal mentor. So it's like, you know, friendships and relationships and girly stuff, I guess. And so yeah, Jeanette's amazing for she's really good for cutting through this, you know, just like, nah, don't focus on that, just focus on this. So yeah, I think I just really appreciate very practical people, and Jeanette's very wise, very practical, and very good at solution finding and stuff like that. So yes, and then I brought a book because I remember like Aaron was talking about like role models and stuff like that, but this lady, her name is Shelley Tomlinson, and for the last 4 years I've like really, she obviously doesn't know me, but I really know her. I read all her content and I just really love, I've tried to imitate certain things that she does in her life, because she just loves the Lord and loves people and just has such a vibrant life in Christ that like it's something I take on board. So
that's awesome. So with your arrangements with people, when you think through your life, have people come and gone, those people kind of come and gone through the journey, like what sort of time periods have they been over?
Well, I think with me, I mean, it keeps coming back to youth group, right? But youth group, I was in that for 6 or 7 years as a youth, and so that was the duration of that specifically. But then Aaron kind of started up a thing we called Sunday Club, where we had chocolate sundaes on Saturday, so it was kind of confusing. But that kind of lasted, it was kind of like a year at a time, I'd say. And so we kind of were just like, oh yeah, we'll do this for a year. And then, you analyse at the end of the year, are you going to do it next year? And it just sort of kept going until it sort of phased out. I'd say yearly, yeah.
How about you guys?
I don't think I've ever really thought about having been in a discipleship relationship, but for me, there have been key people that have spoken into my life at various times. Charmaine has been amazing. She started off being in Charmaine and Colin's home group, and she got myself and Donna, some of you will know Donna, together, and we started with I think maybe the Esther study a while back, and then did sort of one or two either side, but she was just somebody that and she was very much part of the group as well, but she accepted, I come back to the same thing again, accepted me as I was, dumb stuff and everything. So she has been sort of constant all the way through, and she wouldn't call herself as being in that role, but her friendship and her love and her wisdom has spoken into my life lots. So, and the other people, and that's been ongoing, the other people that have particularly spoken into our lives has been Ron and Misty, when our marriage wasn't great, and they stood by us through some rubbish. And
and that's awesome, because I think the thing with it is discipleship's great when things are going well, but it's gold when things aren't going well. And this is where I know in times in my life where things have been really messy and, you know, not the, three of the four wheels had fallen off the cart, you know, that's when my mentors stepped in, and that's when they really showed how golden they were, because they just journeyed with me through it and helped put the wheels back on one by one.
We just need to love each other and care for each other and be there for each other. And, you know, it's easy to think that everybody has got it together, but actually most of us don't. Well, there's most of us have bits that are not together, and to have somebody that can be there in those times is the big bit.
Relationships are key. And we all have different levels of relationship, which is natural. We lived in, when we got married, we lived in community in Havelock North. And like, I pretty well wanted to get out of there straight away, because living in community was, you know, that was pretty weird. And relationships were way too close. But quickly, I changed my view. But it was the impact of, mostly it was that living in that environment with other Christian families. Some were Christian families, and some were people who kind of needed help. But with the Christian families, we had strong relationships with, and if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have gone into social work, and in particular child abuse and neglect and people who struggle to care for their children. So that meant, you know, changing cities, me becoming an adult student, nearly having to work for 4 more years.
And not have kids for 4 more years.
So that was a big impact on our lives, and since then it's really been through relationships. Because I work for Open Home Foundation, it's quite a bit different than some other workplaces. So, you know, because we have a Christian foundation, so we're all Christian, you know, across denominations. And so we have some robust conversations at work. I have closer relationships than others, and some of those have been over many years. So we encourage, we can challenge. And I have a supervisor outside of work who I've had a relationship for about 20 years. And I take things to him which I struggle with at work, but we look at it often from a Christian perspective. Also, want to just take another plug. So our children are Rachel and Isaac, and for a few years ago, we, and particularly I, really struggled here. And really did contemplate leaving. But Rachel and Isaac were really connected into the youth and the likes of Lily and Aaron and Anna, that it was so significant for them that they continue here and we not take them away. And that was probably one of the best decisions in their life for Rachel and Isaac. Yeah.
That's awesome. This is a big question, but do you remember anything that you learned from your mentors? Because I was just thinking, hang on, I'm asking you guys this, and I was thinking, do I remember things that I've learned from my mentors? And I'm like, I can't think of any right now. So I'm glad they're not asking me, you know, because I can't remember. But is there anything that you remember being really helpful in that? Actually, I do remember one. I'll give you some time to think, and it might help you. I remember the first person, we're using this mentor and discipleship kind of word, but really it's just journeying with people. Can I change it to just journey with people? So the first person who really journeyed with me was my youth pastor. And I remember I travelled with him for a couple of, best part of a week in the car when he first came back to New Zealand from overseas. And I was a brand new believer. First time we had met, and he just said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And I was out of school, had no job, and I said nothing. And he said, "Cool, I'll come and pick you up at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock." And I was with him working all week, just buzzing around, organising events and whatnot. And he used those as opportunities to download. And one of the things he said to me was, "When you win someone's friendship, you win the right to share the gospel with them." And I've said that here a number of times over the last 5 years. And guess why? Because I was taught by a person who journeyed with me and I with him. So that's an example. So do you guys remember anything significant or anything that's been helpful?
Yeah, I guess a big one, like with my mum, because obviously, you know, when you become a parent, you're discipling your children. Mum would always say through situations, because we lost my dad when I was 8 and... like, obviously, it was pretty, like, tough years after that. And, like, Mum would always kind of encourage us with, like, you know, God is bigger than this, you know. And so kind of that's been something that I've really grounded myself in when I'm going through tough stuff, is that actually God's bigger than this situation, that it looks big, but actually God's far bigger than it. And then I think with you, Dean, it's been don't underestimate yourself. I think you've really, you know, it's been a lot of things that I've doubted myself in, and you just haven't allowed me to stay in that thinking, but actually just continue to push forward. And then actually I've surprised myself, but you've been like, well, I wasn't surprised. So yeah, it's been really encouraging.
She is amazing, isn't she? So it might have shocked her. Yeah, we've got the best youth pastor in the country, and Life Church have the second. No, first equal. That's cruel, because I know Tori and she's second to none. So,
I can add on with that. I think imitation was a big thing. Like I remember Aaron sort of saying, if you want to be something, copy people that are there, you know. And little did he know. I was like, oh, okay, I'll copy you. So I started copying her. And then, it's kind of giving yourself permission that it's okay to sort of repeat what other people do. Because I think we quite often think, oh, I've got to be original in myself. But, like, you don't have to fix what's not broken. If something's working, it's worth doing. And so I learned that. And I think different people play different roles in your life too, because I found I learned a lot from Aaron and I'm learning a lot from Trevor. But with Trevor, it's more kind of like, I don't know, like iron sharpening iron. It's more like refining what I do know. And then, of course, I'm getting whacked over with some good information too, you know. But yeah, I'd say different people play different roles all within it, yeah.
I just think that I learn the most from hearing of other people's failures. This sounds terrible, but you know, in the church we have this face that appears that we've all got it together, and it's when other people share the challenges and their mistakes, the things that they've stuffed up, the things that they've questioned, struggled with, that you start to think, oh, it's okay, I'm just like everybody else, or just like her. She struggles, I struggle, we all struggle. But it's not until you actually talk to each other about those struggles that you start to see it's okay. And there is a way forward, and we can keep going together.
So, Seb, earlier, one of the most significant period of my life was when I became a Christian at 18, and the people I had around me at that point. And they were really solid examples of men and women who had a really strong relationship with Christ. And since then, I watch people. I see what people do, and that is an example for me. Even in simple conversation, Ron and I had a very brief. Well, we were talking last night, and one brief part of our conversation is that we started talking about poverty. And it's really good to have just these simple but very complex, or start having very simple but complex discussions about things that matter to Christ, and do we have a response in those things?
It's really good. There's a whole nother panel discussion just of itself. So, hey, just moving on, have you guys got other people that you're now journeying with and sowing gold into them, or sharing of your failures? And don't do it like that, because I did it like this and it was a hot mess, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess with youth group. It's cool because it's a big group journey with all the leaders, all doing our best to disciple these young people, and we love it when we see fruit and wins, and we've been encouraged to just celebrate every possible win that we have with our young people. So I guess walking, I got what God really spoke to me about when I first took on this position was, he gave me two words about loving and encouraging these young people. So just love the heck out of them and just encourage them with, what God is talking to them about. There's a few, probably like a few that I walk a little bit closer with. Some have, I've journeyed with them and then kind of walked away, but then it's been interesting because I guess the encouragement is like when you do plant seeds in people's life, or you always do have kind of an open door policy. They know where to come back to. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have had that like experience where you've sown seeds and then they have walked away and you've been gutted because you feel like you've really invested. And then a couple of years later or months or whatever, they come back to you because you've been a safe place and you've actually shown interest and invested in them, and so they know that they can come back. It's more a group discipleship than it is like a one-on-one.
For me, it's primarily in my workplace with some staff at National Office that I'm just in relationship with, a working relationship with, and some staff who are in other offices for Open Home Foundation in the lower North Island. So whenever I get the chance, and where it's appropriate, I'll have conversations with people, or it'll just come out of natural conversations.
I don't really have an answer for this one, but I know that encouraging other people, trying to be real, trying to, at school, just to be the consistent, to be there every day and willing to listen and stop and not do the maths, even though the maths are supposed to be done all the time, but just to be willing to stop and share and care for the girls that are there. And mainly music.
Yes.
Mainly music is just, mainly music is awesome. But I tend to leave, I do the upfront stuff, that's my thing. And I know that sometimes I encourage people, but I kind of leave the talking to the other people in the team as much as I can. but I do try to encourage people from the front and role model really positive times with children and all the parenting stuff. Yeah.
If you haven't seen Nearly Do Mainly Music, I've been tempted to record her and put it up on the screen because I think you need to see. She is incredible. She is the best. She could be the star of the Wiggles, you know? That's how good she is. And this is better than that. Yeah, so.
I think it sort of sounds like this grand idea, like that you're supposed to be full of wisdom and all of that, but because we have our own lives and our own circles, and it doesn't have to be this agreed upon thing. We've got heaps of people in our lives, and you just don't know what God will bring to you, you know. So it might not necessarily be a regular catch up, but just some little thing that you can say that you might think is insignificant, but is actually something like a seed sown for later, you know. And so it could be anyone in your life already. And that's what I find, you know. I stood up with Trevor and did that builder's skit as a reference point, you know, I think I said then that I was looking for someone, and I'm still praying for that to come, but if there's an opportunity. But I've still found that I haven't had someone come in, but I've just had lots of small things that have come in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just it, you know. It's discipling, not even discipling, well, yeah, maybe discipling everyone kind of in your circle, you know. Mm.
I think we often don't know who and how we're influencing people. Mm. I had a conversation just the other day when one of the teachers said, oh, so-and-so at school, you weren't here the other day, Nearly, and me and the other teacher were there, and the student said, oh, I wish Nearly was here. And she said, it was like, really? What? She said that about me? I was like, you know, we don't always see, and we always don't always know who we are helping just by being ourselves and by being real.
That's so good.
Yeah, I think it's true, so I'll just add. But I think it's so true with, like, you know, God's given everyone, like, these talents and these desires and these passions and stuff like that. Like, that's why I really like this book, is this woman's an amazing storyteller, and, you know, she has no idea the impact she's had on my life. And it's, like, it's just cool to see somebody walking in, like, who God's created them to be, and that's blessing other people. And so, like, when people, like, that could be such a discipling of people, is when you're walking with the Lord and you're walking in who he's made you to be, that actually blesses other people, and it draws those who are drawn to whatever maybe your passion and desires are.
That's awesome. I really like the fact that you've brought it back to the book, that someone can write a book, which is obviously her gifting, isn't it? It's her using her godly giftings, and she's written a book that has helped courts in her discipleship journey. And I often joke with people that I was discipled by a whole bunch of people, and one of them was Bob Dylan. and it's actually, I say it in jest, but it's actually true. There was a lot of stuff, the early music that I listened to was actually written by Bob Dylan, who had become radically saved at that point. And a lot of his songs, I would sometimes be driving along listening to a song. There was one song he wrote called Every Grain of Sand, you know, which is a story about him kind of getting baptized with tears and whatnot, and I would have tears in my eyes singing along to the song, and it was just such a work in my life. So it's just such a great picture that we it's not always a formal sit down, right, we're going to do this book, although it may be as well, but it's just one step in a long journey where we come in and we may never see the person again, but we become a market in their journey that helps them to stay inside the lines for that day. Just the last question I've got is, and you guys have been doing this all along anyway, but what kind of advice would you give to us in this journey going forward for how to be effective and how just to work this out in our own lives, walking with others and that?
Just be real. Be yourself. Can't be anybody else. Doesn't work.
We are submerged in a world that isn't Christ-like. We are surrounded by influences from all sides, and a lot of it's or much of it's not Christ-like. Being a Christian's hard. And so we really need to be, and I'm, you know, you're here, we really need to be committed to a church. Like, I'm so strong on that.
So good.
Because we need people around us who can support us. And it's not just people in church, but it's Christians in our life. We need people in our lives who are going to support us, encourage us, challenge us. There's the Bible's so rich, and there's so much that is for us as Christians that we need people in our lives who are going to point to Scripture and say, actually, I think we all need to be challenged by this, because we live in a Western world that's so materialistic, so self-orientated, all that kind of thing. And Scripture's so not that.
That's right.
So we need each other to fulfill our life as a Christian. Yeah.
That was so good. Anyone else?
I think it's just like, especially the last three, coming in my fourth year of youth pastoring, has been trusting that, like, you know, when I'm praying to God and like asking God to help me disciple people, that like God wants it far greater than I want it, and that God actually will continue to equip me, and he'll correct me, and he'll guide me, and that when we ask for things that are in God's will, that he actually delivers in that. And like, time frame is I feel like the things that I wanted 3 years ago, I'm only kind of seeing the fruit from now, but like, I guess, you know, that I've asked and I've continued to ask for certain things, and then trusting that God will deliver in that. And like, that God knows that I'd love to disciple young people and young women especially, and so like, yeah, God putting me in places and putting people in my life and stuff. I think just really trusting that that's a desire of yours, that that's a far greater desire of God's heart too. So, yeah.
Jared.
I'm still thinking about it, eh?
While the band come, you can...
Well, as I think about it, I've been thinking a lot about curiosity at the moment, and like maintaining curiosity, because I think it's so awesome. Easy to lose curiosity.
So good.
And so as someone who, I want to learn more and I want to impart more, but for that you have to be enthusiastic about being curious. So you've got to ask questions, and you've got to be okay with not knowing something, but have a willingness to learn something. And yeah, I don't know, that you don't have to be afraid of being, you know, it's not about being perfect or having all of this wisdom stored up through the years. Like, we all have we all have a story that God's been a part of, and so he's created something in all of us to impart to other people. And so be curious about that too, you know, find out, like write down what has God done for me and figure out what you know that is gold, you know.
I just want to, you guys look like you're almost going to add something.
I just wanted to say, just to trust God that he knows where best to place you. You know, it blows my head that that he would put me at the teen parent school. I didn't have my first baby till I was 31. I didn't have sex with anybody until we got married. I'm white, middle class, and yet God puts me in a place with all of these young girls that have led a very different life from me. You know, never been drunk, never been high, never been this, you know, and yet God can use us in wherever he places us. And just to make a point, for me, driving to school every morning, it's making a point, please, Lord, use me today. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you can work through me, help me to hear you, help me to be led by you. I give you this day, every day.
How good was that? So good. How about we give them a huge clap? Thank you so much. Oh, we'll just leave them there for now. Thank you so much for coming and being vulnerable and letting everyone know that we don't have it together, which is important because none of us have it together, do we? We're all just pieces of clay on the wheel. So the biggest thing is just having time to make room for people. And just when you get these moments, don't rush on by, but actually grab them and slow down and be in the room and take the time to just journey with people intentionally. So I hope that's been helpful. Has it been helpful to people? Weren't they great? That was helpful to no one by show of hands, but that's all right. That's all right. I put my hand up, so it was helpful to me. So I was greatly. I was a mess before I got here. That was. Now I feel okay. I can feel like I could do it. So it's been very helpful to me. So, hey, have a great week. Don't forget, take God out from here. Share him around. He's not our little secret that we keep inside here. He's ours. Love the comment about Ron and Gary talking about poverty. This world has poverty everywhere. And one of the areas it has is also spiritual poverty. And we need to take God out and share him with others to make people rich in him. So, and then we can address other areas of poverty along the way as well. So have a great week.